So let's move on now with the gift of mercy. Everybody should have a handout. Does anybody still need a handout on the gift of mercy? Okay, we have some people down here that haven't gotten one yet. The gift of mercy. A possible biblical character that may illustrate the gift of mercy is the Apostle John. Characteristics. The first one there on the list is deeply loyal to friends. People who have the gift of mercy demonstrate a deep loyalty by taking up for their friends. They make deep, strong friendships, and they take up for their friends. And sometimes a person who has the gift of mercy really doesn't sound like you would expect a person with the gift of mercy to sound, because they're taking up for their friends. If their friends get attacked, if their friends get criticized, they will react harshly to the person who's criticizing their dear friend or their loved one. And you can think, well, boy, they don't have the gift of mercy, but they really do. They're just protecting a friend very strongly, because that's important to a person with the gift of mercy. John illustrated that maybe when, you remember the Samaritans rejected Jesus, and he said, you want us to call down fire on them, Lord? You know, he was upset because they had rejected Jesus, and he was so close to Jesus, and he didn't like that. It hurt him when they were rejecting Jesus. Number two goes along with that, need for deep friendships. People with the gift of mercy want deep, real, serious friendships, not just superficial stuff. They want it to be real. They want it to be solid. They like that closeness, and they like for it to be reaffirmed. They want their friends to let them know, yes, this is mutual. We have a closeness here. It's important to them. Jesus had many disciples when he walked on the earth, and there were 70 in particular that were kind of special. And then of that 70, of course, he chose 12 to go around with him as apostles. But of those 12, you remember there were three. Remember who they were? Peter, James, and John, that were with him when the others often weren't. There were three that were specially close. But of those three, one of them was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's the one that leaned on Jesus' breast. He's the one that leaned on Jesus during the Lord's Supper. Remember that? Who was it? John. He had this close, special, loving relationship with Jesus. So people with the gift of mercy, they feel that's very important to them. Number three, they tend to empathize with hurting people. They are able to sense when people are hurting. If you don't have the gift of mercy, you may be oblivious to the fact that somebody at church, you've talked with them, you've been around them, everything, and they're hurting, and you don't even pick up on it. But the person with the gift of mercy will pick up on it. They'll sense it. This person's hurting. Something's going on. They pick up on people's emotions, not just hurting emotions, all emotions, but especially the people who are hurting. They're sensitive. You might get a clue from that from John when he wrote 1 John, the letter 1 John. The purpose of it kind of sounds like someone with a gift of mercy. He says, I'm writing these things, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. That fellowship is important to someone with the gift of mercy. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So those emotions, that joy and that fellowship, that's important to someone with the gift of mercy. Number four, decisions based on benefits. Now I realize that may sound strange just on your piece of paper there, but someone with a gift of mercy often will like to avoid making decisions at all. They don't like making decisions. And one of the reasons for that is because they're afraid they're going to hurt somebody. They don't want people to be hurt, and they're real sensitive to people being hurt. So they think, if I do this, they may get hurt. They may not understand, so they tend to just shrink back and wait and not make that decision if they can avoid it. What will enable them to make the decision is to get to the point where they realize that there's going to be even more hurt go on if the decision's not made. And if they can get it internalized that it's going to hurt somebody worse if the decision's not made, then they bite the bullet and make the decision. But it's not always easy for them to do that. But when they need to, they can make that decision when they realize there's a greater hurt. You remember when John was with Peter and faced the choice of whether or not to deny Jesus, he was bold just like Peter was. I imagine their boldness may have come from a little different direction. Peter was bold because he had the gift of prophecy, and he was just outspoken. He was just bold. It was the gift God had given him. John was bold most likely because he loved Jesus so much that he didn't want Jesus to be hurt, and he didn't want his name to be brought down. So because of his love for Jesus, he was just as bold as Peter. Just a little different angle there. Number five, deeply sensitive to loved ones. A person with the gift of mercy has the ability to sense genuine love, and they can really be hurt when somebody they love doesn't demonstrate that love, doesn't communicate it back. They get hurt easily. And so it's important. Love is a key word for someone with the gift of mercy. And just nothing more important. Love, love is so important to them. And of course, where do you read more about love than anywhere else in the Bible? John. John talked about love more than any other writer in the Bible. So maybe a clue to his gift. Number six, they attract people in distress. Because people with a gift of mercy are sensitive to people who are hurting, and they care about people who are hurting gravitate to them. And when people are hurting, they seek out that person with a gift of mercy because they know they're going to listen well, and they're going to be sensitive, and they're going to care. Somebody else might not get involved, well, sorry, too bad. But someone with the gift of mercy gets with them, and cares. And so they draw people to them, and they confide in them. If you have the gift of mercy, you probably find often, sometimes maybe overwhelms you a little bit, how many times people will come and just start confiding in you and telling you their problems and telling you their hurts. And you're thinking, why me? It's because you're sensitive, because you seem like you care, and they notice it. It may be a clue here that John had the gift of mercy. You remember when Jesus was dying on the cross and his mother was there grieving? What did he say? Mother, behold thy son. He pointed to John. And he basically said, John, you probably are more sensitive than anybody here to what's going on in my mom's heart right now. You probably know how badly she's hurting, and you're going to care for her. You're going to have that sensitive nature. You're going to take care of her probably better than anybody else. So, John, take care of her. And Jesus was sensitive to that, and John was sensitive to it. John probably did know more than anybody there what Jesus' mother was going through and cared. Number seven, desire to remove hurts. When someone with a gift of mercy sees a hurt, they want to get rid of it. They want to figure out, how do we stop this hurting? They don't want people to go on hurting. This, by the way, contrasts. You remember when we talked about exhorters? Exhorters will see somebody hurting. Exhorters and prophets tend to be a little bit alike in this regard. But exhorters will see somebody hurting and say, this is good for you. God's working something good out of this now. You just got to understand that you're going to grow from this experience. And so an exhorter doesn't want to take the hurt away because he sees how it can profit the person. And a prophet might say, you're hurting because you've done wrong, and this is what you get when you do wrong, so I hope you're learning a lesson. But someone with the gift of mercy just wants to take it away. They don't want that person to hurt anymore. John, he was sensitive about wanting Christians to love each other and accept each other. Remember he said in 1 John 3, but this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Love each other, accept each other, quit hurting each other. Number eight, measure acceptance by closeness. Many times a person with a gift of mercy likes to have that closeness, that personal closeness, so that they can see that they're communicating well and the person's hearing them well and they're hearing that person well, and to know that they're accepting each other and are sensitive to each other. That closeness is important. So they enjoy that fellowship. And again, we talked about John leaning on Jesus at the Last Supper, wanting to be close to Jesus. In fact, some people think, I'm not sure this is a correct interpretation of this passage, but some people think that maybe part of the reason that John wanted to be with, you remember when James and John came to Jesus and said, grant us a request, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, let us sit one on the right and one on the left. And we tend to think, boy, that was arrogant of them to think that they could get that high place of authority. Some people think maybe it wasn't just the authority. Maybe they were wanting just to be close to Jesus. John just wanted to be close to Jesus all the time. And maybe that was part of it. Number nine, attracted to prophets. You can see, having heard the gift of prophecy and the gift of mercy, how they tend to be opposites in a lot of ways. And sometimes the person with the gift of mercy recognizes in the prophet characteristics they wish they had. The person with the gift of mercy realizes that they don't like to make decisions. They're not very decisive. And they realize that they sometimes find it very difficult to be bold and to speak up because they don't want to hurt somebody and they're afraid somebody's going to get hurt. They admire the prophet who speaks up quickly, who makes decisions quickly, who is bold. And of course, many times the person who has the gift of prophecy, after he said what he said, he grieves over it because he thinks, man, I should have kept my mouth shut that time. I shouldn't have said that. I hurt people. And he appreciates somebody with the gift of mercy who tends to be sensitive to people's feelings. So they will sometimes attract each other. And of course, that's good because they balance each other out. That tender love of mercy balances that strong focus on the truth of the prophet, and they keep each other where they're supposed to be. By the way, you know who John spent more time with than anybody else? Peter. Remember that? Peter and John were together a lot. And you just imagine that they balanced each other. I can imagine, I'm reading into the scripture here, but I'm using what Frank calls his holy imagination or sanctified imagination. But I can imagine times when John said to Peter, "Peter, man, you came on so strong. You hurt those people. You need to temper that a little bit. You need to learn how to communicate a little softer, Peter." And I can imagine Peter saying, "John, you need to speak up. Man, you're so sensitive about hurting people. You're afraid to speak up." And I imagine they kind of both pulled each other more toward where God wanted them both to be. And that's probably the reason God put them together like that, you know, so they could balance each other. And that's what we're doing in the church, you see. We're doing the same thing. We're balancing each other in the body of Christ and helping each other grow to be more like Jesus.